Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai with the Nonprofit Snapcast. My partner in crime, Caroline May Eccles, is not with us today, but I have a very special guest on the line via Skype, Andy Robinson, who's something of a celebrity in the nonprofit world. I think he's been doing fundraising and working with a variety of nonprofits for close to 40 years, if I'm not mistaken. Andy, how are you?
I am well, Mickey. Thank you for having me. You flatter me.
Well, I specifically wanted to talk to you because I was in one of your seminars some years ago that I was serving on the Georgia Lakes Society board at the time, and you did a really fantastic seminar for a bunch of us in the environmental sector, and so that's what made me – that was stuck in my mind so significantly in terms of the messaging that I think a lot of boards need to hear. And one of the things out of that seminar came the message that anyone can be a fundraiser. But I know that's a topic you like to touch on from time to time. So I'll ask you again, can anyone really be a fundraiser? Have you met anyone who simply can't do it?
Well, I think the first thing one has to do to answer this question is to have a clear definition of the word fundraising. Mm-hmm. And when I say fundraising, you say fundraising, most people think about the ask, right? It's when you solicit the gift.
Right.
I will propose a much broader definition of the word. Fundraising is identifying potential donors. It's getting them excited about the work you're doing. It's asking for their support. It's thanking and appreciating them when they give. And it's looking for ways to involve them more deeply after they give, so they want to give again in the future. And if you were to create a pie chart showing the time allocation of how we spend our time in fundraising, and I actually have this pie chart, about 10% of the work is the ask. And the other 90% is the stuff we do before and the stuff we do after we ask for the gift.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm going to say, and I say this often, is not everyone is going to be an asker. I don't expect everyone to go out and solicit gifts. I'm not sure I want that. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that everyone can be a fundraiser. And, you know, the everyone is all the board members, all the volunteers, the most loyal donors, the staff. Everyone can have a piece of that. So I think if we define fundraising broadly enough, so it's not about money, it's about relationship building and relationship management, then the answer to your question is absolutely everyone can be a fundraiser.
Okay. I've been fortunate enough to be a part of a board that really embraced the change from just being something of a sit back and relax board that got together once a month to vote on minutes to changing the culture of the board to a more fundraising ethic. But but a lot of people are simply resistant to it. I must admit, even that board, even though it rose to the challenge, they lost probably half of their people who sat back and said, I can't do fundraising. How do you soften the blow, or how do you soften the message to people when you step up in front of a board and says, oh, by the way, everyone in this room is now a fundraiser?
Well, that's not the first thing one would say.
Right.
But often what I do is to start with the work I've already done today, which is how do we redefine fundraising so that it's not about money, it's about people. Mm-hmm. And then I'll give folks specific examples. So, you know, here's a true story, and this is not my idea, but I thought it was brilliant. There's an organization I know where at the beginning of every board meeting, board members are told to bring their cell phones with them, and they're all given a slip of paper. And on the slip of paper is a name of a donor and a phone number and a little bit of donor history, like how many years they've been giving or total aggregated gifts, whatever it would be. And before they start the board meeting, every board member places one phone call. And the phone call is something like this. It's, hi, Mickey. My name is Andy Robinson. I'm a volunteer board member with name of my organization. We're not actually calling tonight to ask for money. We're calling to say thank you. I'm looking at the record here. I notice you've been giving to us for 15 years, which is amazing. And I just want to say, as someone who's a volunteer and a leader here, we appreciate you. If you have any questions, I'm happy to talk. But, you know, I'm just here to say thank you. And I want you to let you know that we're thinking of you. And that's the end of the call.
Huh.
You know, and if you get voicemail, I mean, voicemail is awesome because you get off the call quicker, but you can still deliver the love. And, you know, what I'll say to folks is that's fundraising too. So, you know, I'm real explicit. I'll say to people, if you don't want to ask for money, You don't have to. There are 25 other ways. There are 30 other ways that you could help with fundraising. And one of the strategies, and I'm happy to share this with you afterward, and you can share it with your listeners, however you do that, is the idea of the board fundraising menu. It's coming up with, let's say, a dozen tasks that board members could do. And some of these are actually built like menus, like there's appetizers and entrees and desserts. And the principle is that every trustee goes through the list and picks two or three things on the list that they would be comfortable doing. And again, if the ask is not part of their repertoire, that's fine. They can write thank you notes. They can bring people to events. They can make thank you calls. They could host a party, a friend raiser, a get to know you party in their own home. You know, they can come into the office and write notes on fundraising letters that go out. Heck, they could hand address envelopes, right? That's like the one guaranteed way to get your mail opened is to actually hand address it. And that's cool as it gets. If they're active on social media, they could repost stuff that comes from the organization, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I just did a training for a client here in Vermont, which is where I live, about how to be a better ambassador. And we did a 2-hour training on the, for the board. Staff was there too. The word fundraising, I don't think it came up once in the 2 hours. It was much more about how do you represent in the community? How do you ask good questions? How do you start conversations? What's your own version of the quote unquote pitch about the organization? How do you customize it? You know, and this is an entryway to having a deeper conversation later about, okay, now that you're an ambassador, what are you learning? What are you hearing? And is there a fundraising opportunity here? So I don't want to say that I soft pedal fundraising because I don't think that's accurate, but I'm really sticking to this broad definition, which is how do we create a culture within our organization that is welcoming and inclusive and gives people opportunities to participate. And to me, that's like an initial step that gets us closer to the fundraising conversation.
Sure. I mean, I'm wrestling with the an idea now that the term fundraising itself is perhaps inadequate to the overall tasks that contribute to fundraising. Why does the industry continue to look at boards and say, oh, by the way, fundraising is a key issue, when in fact it's client or not client, when it's, you know, stakeholder stewardship or ambassadorship, like you say, those things are critical to actually queuing up a fundraising ask. But why don't we use those other terms more in terms of selling a board on their responsibility?
Well, I guess I'm conflicted. It's a great question, and I'm conflicted in my answer. On one hand, we have all these words to describe fundraising. We talk about development. We talk about advancement. We talk about stewardship. I could keep going. There's probably 15 different words that people use as a substitute for fundraising. And the reason I'm conflicted is at the end of the day, this is one person asking another person to get involved, to participate. And I don't really care what we call it. What I like about the word fundraising is it's straightforward. I mean, it's honest. And I mean, I had an experience years ago where I was sitting with two friends in San Francisco and we all had the same job title, which was director of development. I was a fundraiser. My friend Noel was actually developing curricula for schools and my friend Nicole was in the film industry. And we all had the same title, but those titles didn't relate to each other at all. So, you know, the idea that there's this magic word like development or advancement that is a better substitute for fundraising, I think it obscures as much as it clarifies. And I'm okay with the word fundraising. I mean, if board members are triggered by that word, then we have to look at the triggers. And I'm not sure the word is the trigger. It's a deeper thing. You know, so, I mean, one of the interesting things about being a fundraising trainer and a fundraising consultant, which are, you know, two of the hats that I wear, is that when we're talking about fundraising, we are talking about money, which is often a taboo subject in this culture. We're talking in some ways about social class, which is another taboo subject. We're talking about how people were raised to think and feel about money. And so you get into deep water very quickly.
Yes.
And there are times, and I don't encourage this, but for example, sometimes I do role plays where I have people pair up or get into groups of three and practice on each other. And it might be a practice of an ask, but it might also be just a discovery conversation, like who are you and what do you care about and how does your work interact with our mission? And I have had people cry during those role plays. And I don't encourage that, but I'm happy when I see it in the sense that I think, wow, now we're getting into the real stuff.
Right.
Right. So, you know, the joke is I did not set out to be a therapist. It's not my training, but I feel like I'm doing therapy every day that I go to work.
Right.
Because, you know, again, we get into this deep stuff. So I will tell you, Mickey, the number one request that I get is board fundraising training. The demand for that service does not go away. And, you know, part of the message I give people is if your board struggles to raise money, you're not alone. I mean, this right. is a common malady, right? But having said that, I want to give you sort of the how do I say this? When the consultants get together, you know, and we're having the secret conversations, these are some of the things that we talk about. Uh-huh. But I want to give you the truth of my truth about boards and fundraising. And it looks like this. Best case scenario, 1/3 of the board, committed, proactive. They get that fundraising is part of the job. They lean into it. They show some leadership. That's 1/3 of the board, top tier. Mm-hmm. Second tier, they'll do it. They don't love it. They're never going to be leadership. Sometimes they complain, but generally speaking, they follow through and they're okay. Second third. Bottom third, inert. Obstructionist, right? Like we shouldn't be doing this, right? That three-tier model, that's as good as it gets. Huh. And I think one of the mistakes that we make is we spend all of our effort on that bottom tier trying to get those people to do some damn thing, as opposed to taking the people who are pretty good and making them really good and taking the people who are solid and turning them into leaders.
Right.
So one of the reasons I'm saying this is, you know, you said to me a few minutes ago, I'm on a board, we've changed the culture, and as a result of that culture change, a fraction of the board left because they couldn't embrace it. Right. And my response to that is, that's okay. Right. I am willing to leave some people on the side of the road as we go forward to wherever we're going, because not everyone's going to get on this bus.
Right.
Despite our best efforts to redefine the word fundraising, make the expectations reasonable, give training to our board, reinforce positive behavior, all those things, despite our best efforts, some people are still not going to get there.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I really am. So, you know, I'm an egalitarian guy, right? I want everyone to grab an oar. I want everyone to participate. And I'm also a realist. If there's some struggle, if we lose some people, if some folks never get there, maybe that's just reality and it's okay.
This is very good. I think I can think of a number of boards that need to hear exactly that in their efforts to change their fundraising culture as well. We're almost out of time. Is there any nugget or any jewel remaining that you would like to touch on real quick for our listeners?
I would kick it back to you and say, what's one different? You're on a board. The culture has been changed and transformed. What's one thing that's different now as a result of that change?
Oh, that's an easy answer, actually. For that particular board, everyone was way more invested in the mission as a result. People were very passionate about the cause, and it became a whole lot easier to translate that into action.
So this is how we'll finish this. Mm-hmm. The number one thing you need to be an effective fundraiser is passion for the mission. And it's the one thing I can't teach, right? I mean, I can teach technique. I do that all the time. I can't teach you to love the organization and the work that it does.
Right.
So if you want to be more effective as a fundraiser, get in touch with why you're involved. Why is the work meaningful for you? And once you have that and you're willing to share that, that is your greatest asset as a fundraiser.
Perfect. Thank you very much. This has been an excellent episode, I think, and I can't wait to hear our listener feedback on it. To all of our listeners, thank you for listening. You can join in on the conversation via our Facebook page. You'll find us at the Nonprofit Snapcast, of course. And thank you, Andy, for joining us for this particular episode. This has been really, really valuable. And we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you for inviting me, Mickey.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.